Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. Careful making wishes in the dark, can't be sure when it hit that rock in the sides. In the
meantime, I'm just dreaming of tearing you apart. That is hammered out to deep left field. Forget about it. Big fly for Mike Trout, and the Angels have tied this one up at one.
Hey, I'm Trent Rush.
This is Brandon Marsh, the Los Angeles Angels and 66ers baseball.
This is Joe Adele here with the Los Angeles Angels.
I'm Troy Hunter Jr.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
What is up, people? It is your boy, Johnny Maggs, joined as always with
Daniel Garcia.
And we're back for another edition of the All Angels Podcast. We're going to keep going with our AL West preview show. We've ran down the Oakland Athletics, Texas Rangers. This week, we're running down the team that's mostly talked about this offseason, yeah. The Houston Astros.
Definitely a team that has one of the most interesting story-filled off seasons and a really—I don't even care what sport it is—in a really long time.
Yeah, these guys are always talked about lately. You turn on the news and it's some Houston Astros news. So we withheld our comments and what we thought about everything Astros last week, so we can get into it this week because you had an interview with Chandler Rome from the Houston Chronicle. He's a beat writer for the Astros, for the Houston Chronicle, and that podcast was out on Monday, so we're gonna react to it. We're gonna have our thoughts on the Astros and all that.
Everything else that's going on. The funny part is though too, depending on when you're listening to this, something else could have popped up and we probably wouldn't even talk about it. So
right.
The way the news was going, you know, for a while there, it just seemed like every single day something new happened or someone else says something different. So again, depending on when you're listening to this, if something's happened in the last, you know, weekend, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we didn't talk about it because it didn't happen yet.
Right. So, and you know, you interviewed Chandler a couple weeks ago, too. So it was before spring training.
It was before. Like, I already kind of had a feeling that once they got out to Florida, the team and the reporters, that it was going to be really busy.
Yeah.
With the quote-unquote apology. And
right.
We can kind of start there.
Right.
You know, but I wanted to get him before he got out there and got absolutely crazy, which it did. So
yeah
it was a little outdated, but kind of knowing what was going to happen, I wanted to get that done before he got too busy out there in Florida. But
yeah,
I guess that's kind of a good place to start. Was the apologies the first? I don't know if it was the very first day there in Florida or the second day, but it was definitely at the very beginning. They had the owner Jim Crane, they had Dusty Baker, they had Altuve, they had Bregman. Bregman and Altuve kind of, you know, was up there, then they were gone, and that was it. You're kind of scratching your head, and you're kind of like, wait, what happened? And then you got the owner, Jim Crane, in his comments.
Yeah, really weird, just kind of just back, like he's – I didn't say that. I said that. You know, he says that it didn't affect the game, and then a couple of reporters questioned him on a
– They pushed him on it.
Like, hey, what do you mean it doesn't affect the game? If you know what pitch is coming, you know, you have a slight advantage. Well, you know, well, okay, then it does give you an advantage. But
right.
You just said it didn't change the concept. Well, I never said that. So yeah. He's backtracking.
It was kind of funny. People started putting videos together where it was like, you know, it could be like a 5-second video, and the first 2 seconds were – you know, has no effect on the game. Then the 2 seconds after that was like, yeah, okay, it probably had an effect. I never said it didn't have an effect. It's like, oh, wait, what, huh? So, I mean, there was that. And again, too, we're on our Instagram feed right now at @Halo_Haven. And like normal, I ask for questions. So I was going through there earlier today, and there was one that kind of brought up the apology aspect of it. And there it is. From Justin Football 08, do you think the apologies the Astros have last week was scripted? And I think it was.
Oh, no doubt. They were definitely given key points, and they stayed stuck to it. They just seemed really insincere because it didn't come from the heart. It didn't seem like it was natural, you know?
In which, like, again, kind of going now into the bigger picture of everything, and you've seen people, whether it be online, whether it be through different podcasts or whatever, kind of really bag and trash the commissioner, which I understand. But he was, like, in a really hard spot, and this apology or lack thereof from the Astros didn't help him at all, where if the Astros – okay, if the commissioner does what he does as far as not suspending players and none of that stuff because of the immunity stuff, which is fine, and the Astro players actually came out and showed some kind of remorse, I'm sorry, you know, we did something that was wrong. We knew it was wrong at the time, and we just couldn't – we weren't mad enough to say anything to stop it and left it at that. I think it would have been fine, but the fact that not only was the apology, like, really bad and very short and seemed very emotionless, but then they started, like, going back at other players. Like, you have to know that other players are going to be upset with it. You have to just eat it. There's nothing you can do. Eat it. And by them continually, you know, Carlos Correa mostly coming out and kind of understand defending himself and defending his boys, but you don't make it any better, and it doesn't help the commissioner at all when he's looking for you guys to show remorse, show that you're sorry, and then all you're doing over here is just kind of like fighting back and stuff like that. And just it doesn't help the commissioner at all.
Yeah, like you said, own up to it, because any type of excuse that you're going to come up with that is going to lean towards it being you kind of commenting towards, well, it wasn't that bad, you know, that's what it seemed to me. It's going to look terrible.
Right.
Put yourselves in the other shoes, you know. If it was happening, if you guys weren't the team that was doing it and you know, you guys were the guys getting cheated on, you're going to be upset. So own up to it. Correa kind of talking about the Altuve T-shirt thing. Don't rip off my hair. Oh, he had a bad tattoo. Dude, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Even if it's 100% true, if that's 100% right. True, I don't want to hear it.
I don't care.
Just say, we made a mistake. I'm sorry. We really, we want to get past this. But
we're moving on to 2020.
Yeah.
We're not going to comment on it anymore.
Right.
Like,
let's move on from this.
You have had to know that other players and other organizations weren't going to be happy with everything that's going on. If you just let them do them and let them vent out and say what they're going to say and you just eat it, then it kind of almost, I wouldn't say dies because there's still kind of more buzz going on, but it makes them at least look somewhat better. Like, it's bad enough that you got caught cheating, but then when you get caught cheating and you're trying to defend it, it makes it 10 times worse. Where if you got caught cheating and you're just like, oh, you know, we're sorry, we're moving on, you know, we did a really bad thing, blah, 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 and then leave it at that and don't try to defend yourselves, you know, there's a little more remorse from the public opinion that way. But yeah, when you come out and so strongly kind of defend what you did, that doesn't help you at all in the court of public opinion, or even, you know, obviously in a lot of ways with your fellow players, you know, in the union and stuff like that. So, you know, a lot of grief wants to be given to the commissioner for not giving immunity or for giving immunity and not punishing players. But I'm just thinking to myself, man, if the Astros handle this so much of a different way, it can be totally different. And they did not do him any favors at all by just kind of wanting to puff their chest out and say, we didn't do it, or it didn't affect, or whatever kind of, you know, weird excuse out there that there was.
Yeah, I mean, it just seemed like they kept shooting themselves in the foot rather than move forward in this. They kept shooting themselves in the foot of one thing after another. And then, of course, Rob Manfred's comments about what happens if the pitchers on the mound retaliate. What are your thoughts on the retaliation factor?
Yeah, so we have a question for that too, and it kind of leads into it. Again, on our Instagram, Chef Jaggerbombs asked, should the Angels use an opener to hit the Astros leadoff hitter? I personally think it's kind of overblown that the guys are going to... I mean, everyone wants them to get pelted, which, okay, whatever, I understand. But I'm not a big fan of that stuff even before. Like, I'm going to get even by you by drilling you with a ball. Like, I was never a fan of that to begin with. So I'm not going to all of a sudden be a fan of it. But, you know, in a way, it's like you guys got to be kind of smart into that too, because now not only are you pissed off at him or whatever, you drill him with the ball, great. Now you have a guy on first. Now there's a guy, before you do anything, there's a guy on first. So, and you're kind of helping them by like, yeah, oh, I got you, but guess what? There's a guy on first, no outs, in the top of the first. And so how does that help your team that you're trying to beat, or you're trying to beat them when you're giving them runners on so quickly?
And me, personally, I know the Astros cheated pretty much on every team. There's evidence, I guess, whatever. But I think the whole Angels retaliating thing is a little bit blown. I think this, to me, it's a little blown out of proportion. The whole, they need to do this and the Angels need to do that. And I know it's because it's our team, and we're there's a lot of fans out there that are upset about, they cheat on the Dodgers, they cheated on everybody. But I feel like it's just a little bit, they're going to get hit by a pitch eventually. Yeah, you're going to have those.
It's going to happen.
You're going to have those guys, those old school type guys, those Weaver kind of guys that aren't going to take no crap, and they're going to throw at you because you cheated. But
I mean, at the end of the day, like,
what does that do?
It doesn't do anything.
It doesn't.
Okay, great. Now they have a guy on first. Right. The next dude hits a home run. Now
you're down 2-0.
It's not a solo home run anymore. Now no. it's a two run home run, and it's like.
But I feel like why do you? To me, I don't see reason in why you have to retaliate in that manner.
The,
I mean.
And the funny part, too, if you look at this last couple, like 17, 18, 19, dude, like, I think they said there's only 11 guys from the original 17 game or 2017 season. There's only like 11 dudes on that team that are from back then. And then you have guys like Gerrit Cole who were there during, if 18 happened the way everyone says and 19 happens the way everyone says, he's there and he's in Yankees camp. And then you have Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton talking about it. It's like, dude, like, you only care about this stuff because, the Astros got caught, but yet you're not turning around and saying anything about Gerrit Cole, who
is on your team.
And it's kind of like, these guys are so spread out now because this is the way baseball works, where, you're going to have maybe a handful of guys that stay on the team long term, but other than that, it's kind of a rotating door.
Yeah.
For one reason or another. But it's, to me, it's like, okay, you're talking all this stuff, but you would hate it if Gerrit Cole suspended, 30 games, the Yankees, but yet all of a sudden, but wait, he's on the Yankees. Well, guess what? He was part of an Angel or an Astro kind of, questionable season. Why, so the suspensions never made sense to me. Everyone wants the book thrown at the Astros to a point where it's like, I can't tell if they're being serious or if they're just being trolls, and it's mostly on. I'll be frank. It's mostly on Twitter. People on Twitter are dumb. I'm fine with the punishment. I'm fine with how it worked out. There's so much more behind the punishment and what the commissioner can or cannot do that it's kind of you have to do something. You have to look at it through a big picture where. Mm-hmm. The union's involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm in a union at work, and it if you get in trouble, that's what they're there for. Right. And it's a process for it to happen.
And people were saying like, "What? They're going to protect the one team of cheaters?" But even though everyone else is mad, it's like, yeah, that's what a union does. A union legally has to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's at the end of the day, I'm looking at this Astro stuff, this Astro scandal, and to me, it's a reality show. Mm-hmm. It's not going to affect me either way if the whole team gets suspended or no one gets suspended. It is what it is. But for some people out there that want, everyone suspended and the team dismantled, it's like, what the
heck? Not going to happen. There's no way that's ever going to happen, guys. Even if you wanted them suspended for 15 games, there's just no way that's going to happen, to suspend a whole team or dismantle a whole team. Oh, they should be banned for a year. What does that do for the other 30 Major League Baseball teams? They shouldn't play any games in 2020, 2021. It just got, like you said, dude, I don't know if people are trolling or if they're being serious. And here's another thing too, dude. Angels, Angel fans out there are just, there's some of us out there, and I'm grouping us together because we're all Angel fans, but there's some of you out there who are pretty ridiculous, and Angels just really weren't in it these last 3 years, so I'm not bothered by them cheating on the Angels so much, because we really weren't in any type of contention, so it is what it is.
And I don't really care. you know, sports is sports, and then you do watch it to get entertained. You do watch it because, you know, you hope that everything's on the up and up. But I mean, baseball has such a big history of these kind of scandals, whether it be the Black Sox, whether it be, you know, this cheating, whether it be steroids, you know, whatever. And I don't understand why people are like so shocked by this. It's like, yeah, if you were to tell me I can do something that's going to help my wallet and it's not illegal, like, let's get that right now. This whole thing is unmoral, unethical, or whatever word you want. It's not illegal by law.
Right.
And you're going to tell me I could do something like that and help my family with money and I'm not going to be penalized by anything like that? I might do it. You know what
right.
I mean?
It's right.
Like,
no, absolutely.
And I think, honestly, that where the Astros are coming from, too, or even baseball, is, you know, I got caught. Okay, so what? What are you going to do? And I understand why people are upset with that, but I don't know.
I get the anger. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not condoning what they did.
Right.
But at the same time, you got to look at it as, okay, I wanted them to get suspended this, but how come they didn't get suspended? Well, there's rules set for that process. Reason.
Yeah.
There's a process. Also, you can't just, there's just so much involved with what happened that I know everyone's looking at it with like rage and, oh, I can't believe they did this and blah, blah, blah. And they're just, that's that one track mind where they just want things to happen. And it's just, there's a process, there's rules in place, there's a union. These rules were set way before any of this happened. When was the last time they met? 3-4 years ago where they set these rules in place?
Yeah, I think the CBA is probably even older than that.
Yeah.
Because it's coming up in 2 years. So
yeah.
Obviously, this is going to be a big talking point, but you cannot punish players when you don't have an agreement in place. Like, the main reason why players get suspended, you know, for PEDs or steroid use, because now it's agreed upon. You can't argue it because it's agreed upon.
So right.
Astros get money taken away. They get suspended. Anything where it affects a player,
right,
rings, like, that's going to go through a grievance. And guess what? They're not going to win.
Yeah,
MLB is just not going to win.
And it's not as simple as just taking their rings or taking the championship. There's
the
a
like,
process.
Like, what, take their rings? We can do knock on their front door and say, pay up?
Yeah,
like,
give it back.
That's the dumbest stuff.
Well, even then, like, it happened. That happened. The steroids era happened. Black Sox scandal happened. This now happened. So what happens now? Just move on. The best thing to do now is just to move on. And
that's what I'm saying, too. Like, if the Astros did that at the very beginning, most of this stuff where people are, again, fighting back at them wouldn't happen. Like, the worst thing in the world, you got caught cheating, yes. The second worst thing in the world you can do now is kind of defend it when you got caught red-handed. And that's what they were doing for a long time. And now,
Right. Hopefully,
they're just quiet and said, okay, 2020. And then you got guys out here, players, like, I understand them being frustrated, but then you got, like, I don't know. It's just weird to see the union, a really strong union, be so fractured, because you got players that are upset, which you understand, but, man, I don't know what the union's going to do, because they have to protect the Astros, because they are, like I said, that is a federal law that the union has to do that to its members. Like, they can't just turn their back on them and say, you cheated, so we're not going to protect you. No, like, by federal law, they have to, and I don't know how many people actually realize that even if the union didn't want to, or the uppers didn't want to, or 99% of, you know, the players didn't want that to happen,
right,
you know, by federal law, the union has to, and then when the CBA comes around, then you can readjust it, but by federal law, they have to help them and fight it, so
Lauren Emanuel on Instagram said the Black Sox scandal, they were banned from baseball. Yeah, I know, but it happened. I'm not saying that they didn't, but again, this was 1918. This was before any CBA or any contracts or anything was in place. But my point...
It's a totally different
thing. My point to that was, it happened, so move on.
Yeah. Well, he said, there was no union, you know, there's no one fighting. Like, if that happens now, I don't think that happens. I don't think they get suspended, like... Everyone loves bringing up the Pete Rose thing. It's like, do you realize Pete Rose, when he first got kicked out of baseball for life, for the next, like, I don't know, like 10 years or whatever, all he had to do, all the commissioner wanted him to do, was admit that he was betting.
Right.
And he never did.
Right. And then the commissioner died.
And then he decides when he writes a book
to admit it to
get book sales. And it's like, no, dude, you had your chance. If you were to come back, you know, the year after you got kicked out, agreed to, like, hey, I bet on baseball, I did this, I did that, he would be in the Hall of Fame right now. But again, it's not so bad. It's not, the crime is never really the bad thing. It's how you react to the punishment or criticism that really is going to affect it. If you get all super defensive, it doesn't look good. If you deny, like Pete Rose did, even though there's hardcore proof, again, that's not a great look for you. And I just, you know, people want to lump this into something huge. Like, you know, people are saying this is worse than steroids, and I don't see that.
I don't even think steroids was that bad because, you know, pretty much everyone was on the same plane. It made the game really exciting.
Well, I mean, again, if people want to all of a sudden get ethical on it, because it's like people are picking and choosing when they want to get ethical. Mm-hmm. You cheated. That's a bad look for kids, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, so dudes using steroids isn't bad. Like, steroids were so much worse on a bigger picture that it was in Congress.
Yeah, I mean,
How many high school baseball teams have an audio or a video room in during the game that they can do this? None. But how many kids were getting some kind of form of PEDs and steroids to help them out because of they were seeing the big leaguers do it? Like, for people that are saying this is worse than the steroids, I completely disagree, and I don't understand. Again, it's like the flavor of the month.
Well, I understand the level of, like, just the cheating that they did. I get it because, you know, oh, they did. I get it. And I understand the anger towards it. But to say it's worse than steroids is a bit much, just because the effect you just mentioned, like the high school kids, the effect that steroids would eventually have on the youth of America. Like, hey, I want to be able to hit this many home runs. Let me do this if it's going to make me better. Cheating has always been a part of the game. Astros just took it to another level. So, to me, man, it's one of those things, and I'll say it again. It happened. Let's just get past it. That's it. What are you going to do? Just sit here and argue and get mad at him? Like, it is what it is. It happened.
Yeah, and then kind of going back to the retaliation stuff, like, it sounds good, but I mean, this is also the same sport where they clear the benches and they don't do anything. So it's like,
yeah, what
baseball's famous for all talk and no walk. Yeah. So, players want to bark about what they should happen and get hit and drilled and, you know, beaten or whatever, you know, Nick Marquegas said. But this is a league, a team, a sport where it is famous for people coming out and standing around. And, yeah, you might occasionally get an actual good brawl.
Yeah, but far and few between.
95% of it, it's hey, let's just run out there, act like we're going to do something and stand around.
Angels cannot afford to have a guy throw at an Astros player and get kicked out immediately. We need you to go six innings, guys. That's
kind of the deal, yeah. Again, Lauren Emmanuel Chavez said, steroids was bad, no doubt, but a majority of the players at the time were doing it, so the level of cheating is hard to say. Yeah, but it's like, if two wrongs don't make a right, then what the hell is 150 wrongs? Is that all of a sudden be, okay, well, then that's fine. So it's like, people want to sit there and, well, everyone's using it. Okay, cool. So that makes it okay. Like, that's my opinion about the steroids. Like, yeah, I get it. Everyone was using it and stuff like that, but it doesn't automatically. Okay, cool. So that fine now? Like, I don't know. I never got that kind of thought process behind it. But another topic about the Astros and all that stuff, and we'll eventually get to the on the field stuff eventually. But this is kind of just what's going on right now. But the trophy. We talked about the rings. They can't go really take the rings physically from them. But do you think the commissioner should take the trophy, vacate the World Series?
No, because you know what? The game was played on the field. You had a winner. I know the cheating, blah blah blah. But you know what? Again, I'm going to go back to it happened. It is what it is. If you want to put an asterisk next to it that they're, you know, quote unquote world champions, you can. Cheating scandal in parentheses, whatever. It is what it is. I'm not a stickler on taking away anything. It's something that happened. I mean, it's always going to be a part of history in my eyes.
Yeah, I think asterisks or no asterisks or stripped or no stripped, there's always going to be that yeah, but
yeah.
conversation to yeah. it. So, I mean, you know, when I have kids or, you know, if you have small kids in your family, like a niece or a nephew, and they get old enough and they're going to ask about the 2017 World Series, you know, regardless if the trophy's there or not, you're probably going to say the Astros won. But there's going to be that but. Uh-huh. And I think that's kind of the thing was where it doesn't really matter if they actually physically strip it.
It's always going to be tainted.
There's always going to be that taint that's not going to matter. Yeah. I just think, you know, I don't care. Like, let them have it. Like, if anything, that's even a worse reminder of what the hell happened. You know what I mean? Like, you take the trophy away, okay, well, then a display, a World Series display disappears. Okay. So maybe people after a generation forget about it.
Because there's no visual
evidence of it. Right. But if you keep that trophy there, every single time someone comes up and sees 2017 World Series champs, they're going to be like, that's right.
And at the same time, like, fans that were Astros fans at the time are always going to remember them winning the World Series at that time.
Right.
You're never going to take that away from them either.
What was it? The Men in Black?
The Erase Your Mind. Yeah. But the other thing, too, is that a lot of people were talking about, they give the World Series championship to the Dodgers. Well, no. You can't do that either because
they don't want it.
Yeah, of course. You don't want it that way. But other people were like, oh, they give it to the next. No. If they did cheat, they had to get through two other teams to get to the Dodgers. So you can't, by default, give it just to the Dodgers because who's to say the Yankees weren't going to beat them?
Right, exactly. So it's like it's either all or nothing.
There's a big domino effect if you do stuff like that.
Yeah, I was never a fan of taking the trophy away and vacating it. It just didn't make sense. And people were just, they have to do that. And then you said precedent for something like that. So how far back do you go and look at quote-unquote cheaters? Do you go now into the steroid era and say, hey, this team had a guy in the Mitchell report that or tested positive for steroids, blah, blah, blah. Do you now strip that? Because that's a form of cheating.
Right.
So it's like it's a stretch, but then, hey, once you start pulling at that string, you cannot stop. And I think that's what the commissioner was getting at. It's like it's a very tricky thing. You just once you start, you just can't stop. You got to really think about, do you want to go down that road? And the same thing with making Jim Crane sell his team. You can't do that. Like how are you? Like, I've only seen teams be forced to sell their team under like two circumstances. One is financially, they just can't afford it for whatever reason. Their other investments fell through, and this. Physically cannot afford the payroll of the players, then they take it, which makes total sense. If you can't afford the toy, you don't get the toy. And another one is you're a basketball fan, is Donald Sterling, but he was so caught up in so much illegal stuff. Like, again,
right,
what the Astros did, illegal in baseball terms, yes, but as federal government law-abiding citizen stuff, it wasn't illegal.
Yeah.
So to take away someone's team because of that, it doesn't make any sense to me either.
As much of an idiot as he sounded at that press conference, it's not as simple as forcing him to sell the team, you know?
Yeah. Anything short of like a federal crime, then take his team, because that's not a
good embezzlement or something like that.
Yeah, but not for quote unquote cheating and not for having a terrible press conference. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and defend the guy, like, as far as, like, what he did was right, and he can play innocent all he wants, but I still don't think at the end of the day it's worth taking a team away.
Lauren, I understand what you're saying with the soccer team, but I'm pretty sure the English Soccer League has different – I don't even know how their player union or how that goes.
Well, see,
but there's contracts. Major League Baseball couldn't just backtrack on the contracts that were set before any of this happened. Then Major League Baseball would be in trouble.
But that's like kind of
you just can't
like
do that.
And oranges, because what are you? They get the Man City gets, you know, they can't play in the Premier League or whatever. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's one of those high end leagues. But okay, what they get downgraded to another league. So was that like the Astros playing in AAA next year? Like what? There's so much different between laws and rules between not only games and different sports, but now you're talking countries.
Right.
Now you're talking about a whole different country.
There's a whole different standard.
And from what I've heard, something talked about it, that they might fight that and they might come back. Like, the Man City thing isn't done. They can appeal that at the right people, because and again, we're not a soccer podcast, but and it's funny you brought that up, because I heard something on another podcast I listened to today, but the way that was settled was the one group of people were the judge, jury, and executioner in it.
Right.
There was no outside party that got to fight for their, you know, side. So now they're appealing it, and so they can come back. So I think it's totally a different thing.
But even with all that said, the punishment that MLB put down was all that they can do. They could not backtrack on those contracts, on those negotiation deals, just because they wanted to punish the Astros. Believe me, if they could, they probably would, but they just couldn't. If Major League Baseball reneged all these, you know, these player contracts, CBAs, all that, they're in deep trouble.
That's federal stuff now. Again, like I said, yeah. That turns into a federal crime. Like,
so
we're talking about baseball, and then you're mad that they didn't do anything. That's a federal crime.
Yeah. These rules were set in place way before any of this happened, guys. Like, I know. Sorry. I mean, I'm with it. I'm upset too. But what good? I mean, you got to look at it. That's all they could really have done.
And we, you know, as baseball fans, we can get upset all we want, but the team is what you see on the field, but there's so much more behind it. Like you said, contracts, sponsorships,
CBA,
like that's federal stuff.
Ban the team for a season. What about everyone that works at the stadium? You're taking, you know, there's people that work there that aren't part of the actual player personnel.
If you look at the 2017 roster to now, there's only 11 guys on that team. So if you're willing to ban this team this year, how does that affect the dudes that came in this year?
Right, had nothing to do with it.
Or got brought up at the end of last year they were in the minor leagues, and now they're planning to get, you know. It doesn't make any sense. Again, I can't tell if half these people are trolling or half these people are actually like serious, but
or just don't know what they're talking about. The two people that should have gotten in trouble, I mean, did get in trouble. The general manager and the manager who could have stopped it from happening while you were in the dugout. He could have said, no, stop. That's it. Plain and simple. Those two guys are gone. To me, I'm glad those guys got what came to them.
I mean, MLB had their hands tied. Again, like I think a couple of days ago, Manfred said if he could get enough evidence on his own to punish these guys without interviewing these guys, he would have. But he couldn't, so he had to offer them immunity. Because
That's the only way they would talk.
And the player association even said, like, we're not going to talk to you unless you give us this immunity. So
yeah, I mean, it makes sense. At 100%. What
point is either you sweep it underneath the rugs, like, well, I didn't have enough, and no one gets punished.
Right.
Or you do what they did, and so, yeah, they have the scarlet letter on them. They're considered cheaters from now until whenever you decide to get over it. Or and the commission and the GM and the manager get fired, or I don't have enough to go forward, so I'm just going to drop it. Like, those were kind of your that was kind of like what the options were. And I understand people being frustrated. That makes perfect sense. But at the end of the day, you still have to.
You've got to look at it.
You can't look at it as a game. You have to look at it as a business.
You just have to look at it as, all right, company, you know, exactly.
And how it deals with its
employees. Like human resource type stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And no one wants to do that because people, and I completely understand the fans, because people use sports to get away from their life that have that kind of stresses and all that stuff. And they don't want to see that creeped into their entertainment and their joy. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's kind of what it is. And every single time we talk to a player about, hey, trade rumors and this and that, and they come back with the same response: it's a business.
Yeah.
You understand it's a business. Yeah, it sucks. It's a business. I mean, Brian Goodwin won his arbitration hearing, but they asked him about how that meeting went, and he's like, it sucks, but there's no hard feelings because it's a business. And you don't get to pick and choose when it's a business and a game, because it's both all the time.
Yeah. And I, like you said, I understand the frustration because this is a sport that we love. You guys who are watching this right now obviously love baseball, because you wouldn't be watching if you didn't. And this tarnishes the game. Sure. I understand 100%. But again, you got to take a step back, look at it as a business, and say, all right, what was done was done. This is all they could have done. So for me to be upset anymore isn't going to do anybody any good. And baseball in general needs to move forward from this. And the Astros need to just shut up, own up to it, stop shooting yourself in the foot.
Quit talking back. Yeah.
Yeah, stop shooting yourself in the foot, own up, and focus on 2020. That's it.
So we're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will try to talk about what's going to happen on the field.
Actual Astros.
You know, the guys that are on the team and everything like that. So we'll be back after this.
Hey, what's up? Johnny Catfish here, ambassador for Groom Goon Beard and Body Care. Are you tired of your beard feeling rough and not so fresh? Do yourself a favor and do what I did, and check out www.groomgoon.com. Groom Goon carries a variety of beard oils and beard and body soaps that will leave your beard feeling soft and smelling great all day long. Don't just take my word for it. Go check it out for yourself. Again, that's www.groomgoon.com. And at checkout, use discount code CATFISHTHEGOON, all one word, CATFISHTHEGOON, and receive 15% off your purchase. Why choose Groom Goon? Well, because your beard deserves it.
This is Hood Vicious. Listen to my show, The Punk Corner, on KJ Epic Radio, every Thursday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay, we are back. Thanks to our sponsors. Again, I want to thank our sponsors for sponsoring our show, making this possible. We also have friends over at Stance. We have a giveaway
going on right
so
now.
So if you guys on the podcast side, on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, listening to us on there, follow us. Follow us at Halo_Haven on Instagram before Saturday. Check out our post regarding Stan socks for your chance to win his and her pairs of socks.
There's three pairs. Each pair has a his and hers. Again, this is going to be our thought behind it. This is going to be our third full season of Angels, of All Angels podcast. All right. So you're going to tag three friends. We're going to give away three different sets. Mm-hmm. Again, and it's going to close first pitch of Saturday. The 22nd, because this is the very first spring training game. And it's kind of a way to let's get the ball rolling. So definitely, I was asked on Twitter if we're going to do a Twitter giveaway. Honestly, we get a lot more support and a lot more
interaction,
that's a good word, interaction from our Instagram page, so that's probably where we're going to mainly do all our giveaways,
right?
And we might do a Twitter one here and there, but you know, if you're on Twitter, there's a good chance you're also on Instagram. And if you're not on Instagram, make a fake one, make a burner, it's cool, and then you can do it that way. But definitely check us out on Instagram, again, Halo_Haven, and on Twitter, Halo_Haven. They're both the same, but we definitely have a giveaway going on now, and we will have more giveaways as the spring and season progresses.
And these are legit Stance socks, people, like the ones you see at Angel Stadium, like
the official
sock of Major League Baseball.
Yep.
So you have a chance to win. You have to do nothing. All you got to do is tag three people
exactly.
And follow Halo Haven. That's
easy
it.
Enough.
For your chance.
We already got, again, I posted this probably about 12 hours ago, actually, and we already got over 100 and I think like 110 entries. So again, we're gonna close off the comment section at first pitch. We are gonna get all those names, put them like in a random generator on the computer, and then start pulling three winners through the game. And hopefully by the second or third inning of that spring training game, we'll be able to post the winner, but definitely not the last one we're going to do this year. That's for sure.
No. All right. So let's talk about the Houston Astros. We talked about the A's. We talked about the Rangers. And now it's the Astros' turn. In my opinion, the front runners in the American League West.
Absolutely.
And I'm not the only one. From hearing the two previous interviews and Chandler Rome's, I think we're all in agreement that the Houston Astros are the team to beat in the American League West, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they have more questions this year than they have ever had in the last, three or four. And the big one, obviously, is the loss of
Garrett Cole.
And where do you get his innings from? Because before, you had kind of a three-headed monster going on. With, obviously, Greinke got picked up at the trade deadline, but him, Verlander, and Cole. This year, now you're kind of stuck with just Verlander and Greinke at the top of the rotation, which is a very good
one-two punch,
of the best 1-2 punches in baseball. But after that, there's question marks. You have Lance McCullers Jr., which is coming back from Tommy John surgery, and he's probably going to be on some kind of a pitch limit. And I know Angel fans, they, for whatever reason, think Tommy John surgeries are exclusively Angels property, which I understand, but no. Astros are dealing with this too. Lance McCullers coming back with Tommy John. What is he going to give you? 130, 140? And then if he does, how good are those innings going to be? That's my biggest thing is the pitching depth isn't there like it used to be. Again, the top guys, Verlander and Greinke, are going to be there. But other than that, I don't know where the rest of their rotation is. And I talked about it with Chandler. If one of those main guys, again, Greinke and Verlander, go down for a significant amount of time, their pitching depth isn't going to be enough to carry that team to a runaway. Like, will they still probably win? Yeah, but they're not going to win by 10. Maybe they'll win by 3.
Games. Yeah. They're a year older as well. Greinke and Verlander are up there. They're a little long in the tooth now. But it's funny listening to the Channel Rome interview. He talks about the pitching and how that's a big question mark. And I'm like, man, so is the Angels pitching. I'd rather be in the Astros situation.
Well, yeah, because, though. Well, the funny part is, no, you're right, though, because they have two legit
teams. Man.
But, man, so, after that, like, but, if you go Lance McCullers on down in the rotation, the three.
Yeah, four, they're all five, question six, marks for sure.
It's pretty much the Angels rotation, kind of. But just obviously the big part of the lineup is those first two dudes. And you cannot sleep on, even though Verlander and, like you said, Greinke are long in the tooth and getting older, until Verlander shows some kind of struggle, it's kind of like, you know, like Tom Brady or some of these older quarterbacks, you're not going to believe they're on the backside of their career, you know, LeBron, until you see it.
Start like, showing.
Yeah, you can always predict, like, oh, this is the year they take a step back. But until you see it, I don't believe it. So, again, Verlander and Greinke are in that situation. But after that, yeah, I mean, like, again, McCullers, Peacock, James, Whitley is a young prospect guy that can get brought up. But again, he's had a rough time in minor leagues last year. And all these guys, I mean, you're talking about pitching limits that you're just not sure what they're going to be. So
right. Yeah. To me, the Houston Astros are definitely the team to beat. That 1-2 punch in the front of the rotation is great. Offensively, man.
They're still good.
They're really good. They got Brantley. They got Bregman. They got Correa. They have Altuve. They got – who's their first baseman? That guy?
Gurriel.
Gurriel.
They got the rookie of the year, Alvarez.
Yeah. I mean, they are stacked whether they're cheating or not. These guys can go out and get – they can hit the ball. So, offensively, they're really good. I just don't see this team – not winning the American League West. The A's might give them a run for their money, but the A's, everything has to go perfect for them, too.
Right, yeah. And again, it's kind of weird, too, because they're kind of in the same situation where their offense looks really good and their question marks in their rotation. But, I mean, if you're talking about everyone getting everybody's full effort, obviously the Astros are going to be the runaway because of those. I mean, obviously the best 1-2 combination maybe in baseball, but definitely the best 1-2 combination in the AL West.
Yeah.
Regardless of the team in the AL West. So, you know, you have Maldonado behind the plate. He's going to be defensively. You know what you're going to get from him. Offensively, it's going to struggle. But when you have big offensive guys like a Springer, Altuve, Correa, Bregman, Brantley, I mean, their offense is going to be really good. And it's going to be really hard. In the stadium they play in, and Minute Maid, you know, as a lot of those things, you get the ball up.
Yeah, it's Crawford boxes right there.
It's going to carry really well, and it's going to be a home run. So their strength is those offensive players, and it's going to be really interesting to see how their season goes. But again, you know, the bullpen, you know, Ozuna, Presley, Smith, James, like these guys, you know, outside of Ozuna and Presley and Smith, but ex-Angel,
Joe
Smith, you know, again, they have a pretty good bullpen also, you know, health is such a big deal with a lot of these teams, and the same thing with the Astros. They can afford to lose one of these offensive players, I think, and be fine. You know, they can shuffle stuff around. Like Correa goes down again, you can move Bregman to shortstop, and then you can put someone in the third base, and you'll be fine. Or same thing, Altuve goes down, you can put Bregman over at second, or whatever, and you'll be fine. But man, if Verlander or Greinke goes down, that's when the division is going to be up for grabs as far as between them and the A's. I believe that might take them from a high, like a 99-win, 100-win team to like a 95, 94-win team. And that's kind of where the A's have been in the last couple of years, and they can be right in it.
Right. It's so crazy to think that 94 wins, and, you know, that could possibly win you the West depending on the health. But those 94 wins are probably good enough to make one of those wild card spots. So, just so crazy how things work out. Going back to the catcher position, something I've always said, you know, they got Maldonado behind the plate, great defensive catcher. Anything that he can provide offensively for the Astros is going to be icing on the cake.
Right.
If he has a similar season to the season he had here with the Angels the year he won the Gold Glove, where he hit like 14 home runs and drove in about 50, that's going to make the Astros a very dangerous team.
Right.
When you're getting production like that from your catcher offensively.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, catching, and we've said this before on different podcasts, and especially when the Angels were kind of going through their catcher search, you know, the catching position isn't what it used to be.
Mm-mm.
Now it's a really strict defensive kind of priority. And then offensively, if you can get another, if you can get a good offensive boost, that's just a plus. But you're definitely a defense first position. So obviously, Maldonado, like you said, anything extra is going to be great. And the way this offense is kind of structured with the players they have, they don't need him to be. Again, he's going to be their, your ninth best offensive option.
Right.
And that's fine. That's good.
Oh yeah.
That's what you. That's what he needs to be, and not a problem at all. But you know, Astros are really tough. They're going to be a tough out no matter who they play. But you know, I guess kind of looking forward, and we're talking about some of these young pitchers that they're just not sure about. They don't have a real high depth in their farm system. Like, yeah, they have some young arms that are kind of whatever, but they're not. I think his name is Forrest Whitley. Is the only Astro in the top 100 that came out for MLB Pipeline, a pitcher. And even then, he was struggling last year in the minor leagues, from what I remember. But other than that, they don't have a lot of depth. So, yeah, they have Springer, they have Brantley, they have Correa, they have Altuve. But you go 3 and 4 in the depth chart, if injury really hits, they don't have anyone there. So, and with the loss of two draft picks this year and two draft picks next year, that's going to really hurt, because when they traded for Greinke, they kind of traded away the last remains of a really good farm system to get Greinke in.
Right.
Granted, they didn't know all this stuff was going to come downhill, or else I wonder if they would have done it differently.
Yeah.
But their farm system is pretty bare right now, and they're not going to have a first and a second this year and next year to help replenish. So, you know, if it's not this year, the next couple of years are going to be really kind of interesting with the Astros.
Yeah, and you know what, draft picks, the farm, not just what you know, you're able to like you said, the trade, when they traded for Greinke, they got rid of some guys that, you know, obviously now looking back, damn, I wish we would have kept them, you know, if you're an Astros fan. But you know, losing those two draft picks, it's crucial to the organization, just because
to build some kind of depth behind the
look where the Angels were for 5-6 years, man, where they had nothing. DePoto was making these trades and signing these guys, and little did he didn't care about what was happening to the farm system. And it took forever for the Angels to get a Joe Adell, Brandy Marsh. You know, we're finally here now where the Angels are getting guys in
through the system and finally.
Yeah. So now the Astros, you know, that's going to back them up 5-6 years, unless they're able to trade somehow for guys eventually. But that's going to be hard to come by, because then you have nothing to trade for. You have nothing to give in return, too, if you're in the middle of a, you know, next year they're in the middle of a playoff race, and, well, let's go down to the farms. Oh, we don't have any draft picks.
That's the hard part. That's why if they are in it and you're looking for them to make a trade to add something for that last push,
they'd have to give up somebody on their major league roster, and at that point you're removing somebody who's important to your
roster. Because if you're in a race, all those guys are important.
Right.
So the Astros are going to be really interesting to see this year. Also, too, with everything that's going on with the cheating scandal, you know, and it kind of goes into a question we have here on Instagram, and I'm trying to find it, but here it is. Do you think Halo fans will join in on the boo onslaught the first weekend? It is a baseball issue. But, yeah, I think –
you're going to get
that everywhere,
yeah.
And I just don't know – I guess what the one thing that the Astros have going for them is that this news didn't break in the middle of the season to where it's like, oh, everything was fine yesterday. Now it's everything's hit the fan. Like, they knew about this punishment. They know about this punishment. They can get themselves somewhat ready, I guess, for it. Like, I don't know if you can ever be totally ready for something that's going to happen to them, or, you know, come at them with fans and booing and all that craziness that's going to happen. But there is some point you can kind of get yourself ready for that, and I wonder if that's going to help at all. Because again, like, I even if some of these guys are kind of affected by it, I don't know if you can put like a game kind of like, oh, they're going to lose 3 more games than they would have if this never happened. Like, I don't know if you can put like a total like that onto it, but it's going to be interesting to see how they react to play on the road and obviously play at home and all that stuff.
They're going to get booed. Yeah. It's going to happen. Expect it to happen. When you're there, Angel fans are just going to join. Obviously, anywhere they go, not just Angel fans, all throughout Major League Baseball. They're just lucky they're not going to the Dodger Stadium. Can you imagine if they were the Dodger Stadium?
No, they don't, but they do play the All-Star game at Dodger Stadium this year. So,
ooh,
So your big guys are going to be there, you know, obviously depending on the season. But, I mean, it wouldn't be surprising if you see Correa, Altuve, Bregman, and, like, Verlander there in Dodger Stadium for that. And then, obviously, yeah, the All-Star game, you might get a handful of, like, fans from different teams, but you can bet that
it's mostly Dodger fans. It's
mostly Dodger fans. And
Dude, Bregman needs to join the Home Run Derby.
I mean, if... Honestly, like I kind of wish these guys would just lean into it and be like, "Yeah, we did it." Like, you're a wrestling fan, turn completely heel and be like, "Yeah, yeah, uh-huh," and watch me,
and watch me now. Backflip when you hit a home run.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not an Astros fan, but I love the drama of it. I said, it's like a reality TV show for me. I would love to see Bregman hit a home run and backflip and stare, you know, put whatever visiting team or home team that he's visiting into, put whatever team you want there and just stare them down, like fans that are giving him a hard time. Like, to me, I'm like, oh, this is entertainment. And that's what I'm here for, is the entertainment.
You paid your ticket to get in. You want some damn entertainment, right?
Right. And that'd be funny if Bregman does the Home Run Derby or Springer or one of these guys that have
Correa
power.
Or somebody else. Altuve, yeah. Screw it. And then take his shirt off after. Oh, come on. I want that to happen so bad.
That'd be too funny.
Let's see. Quickly want to shout out Duncan Healy, who emailed us at allangelspodcast@gmail.com. Just thank you for the kind words. We got another one at All Angels Podcast. You want to get into this one? It doesn't have to do with the Astros, but...
Yeah.
Let's just talk about it. And then you guys on Instagram Live and whatever. Hey, guys, good job on the podcast. I heard that Fletcher is taking reps in the outfield. Could you see the Angels going with Fletch as a fourth outfielder and carry an extra guy like a Renjifo rather than an Hermosillo? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's actually not crazy just because of the fact where the jock thing fell through. So you're already kind of thinking like they were interested in another outfielder because they weren't 100% sold on Hermosillo.
Right.
Whoever else is behind them, and you don't want to rush Joe up. So obviously they're trying to find another guy to compete for some of those at bats. And you know, I think if the jock thing did go through, you probably wouldn't see Fletcher out there. But since it didn't, they need someone out there that's going to give them some kind of depth and play multiple positions. And Maddens had come out and said he sees him as like a super utility guy, which is fine, which I think fits his kind of profile and who he is perfectly. But yeah, I think once that jock thing fell through and the trade didn't happen, I think it changed a lot of what the Angels were planning to do when it comes to the lineup and all that stuff.
And with having Fletcher be your fourth downfielder, you don't have to worry about what you're going to do with the Renjifo and the La Stella. You can almost play them all together at the same time if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Fletcher's ability to play every position pretty much like Sean Figgins, just makes him even that much more valuable for the Angels.
Yeah, again, like if Jock was here, if Jock came over, then I don't think this happened.
No.
But I think because it didn't, they're trying to find that fourth or fifth guy. And then Fletcher played a little bit there last year. He was already taking kind of like BP reps, if you will, out there. So it's not totally out of, you know, pardon the pun, left field.
Yeah.
But, I just think that would help the team overall. And then, yeah, then you can carry a Renjifo or carry you know, or whoever, maybe someone who has a hot bat, like a Theis or
Walsh or something
like that could be also carried on. But it's not a bad idea. But again, it's really early. I'm interested to see how many at bats he gets at there compared to like second, third. I got a feeling when you go to spring training, you're probably going to see him at all. You know, you're going to see him at third. You're going to see him at short. You're probably going to see him at second. You're probably going to see him in the outfield at some point in the spring training. And so just kind of see how they balance all that stuff out.
Yep. Any questions over here on the old IG?
The old IG. A lot of the stuff is the same, guys. So, like, if we didn't get to your stuff on the Instagram, it was kind of like the three or four guys asking the same stuff. I mean, like I said, we already talked about Justin Football, about the apology. We got Angel Fan 4 to ask about the apology. It's kind of like the same thing, but... you know, we like this. We like the interaction with you guys. Efren _ Pardo would... what if they banned them from events like such as the All-Star Game and Home Run Derby?
No, man.
No, I mean...
I want Bregman to be in the Home Run Derby
this year. The drama. I mean, as a fan...
At Dodger Stadium, can you imagine?
As a fan, like... To me, that's kind of dumb. Like, you're not going to exclude him from a regular season game, which I understand, because of the whole, like, we got into earlier, the union and that stuff. Yeah. But then you're going to exclude him from an exhibition game where nothing in that game matters or carries over.
Right.
Why would you not
want the drama? Want that excitement on TV?
You know how many more eyes would be on that when...
Oh, I would go for him so bad.
Yeah, I think that's bigger than baseball. That is a... It's going to be must-see TV how the fans react, how their all-star teammates,
right,
who, you know, were very vocal about not liking what they did, interact with them. That would be just perfectly made for TV drama.
I want Altuve to be in it, and I want him to hit a home run and take his shirt off. Take your shirt off, Altuve.
Yeah, and just...
Dude, and I would put like a little microphone right here, like a little bump right here with, dude. Heal it up WWE style, like you said, Dan. Yeah. I'm 100%
on board with that. I hope, like I said, hopefully they get a talking and they just kind of lean into it and they accept it, because there's no way for them to defend it. There's no way for them to
own it, dog.
Own it, just
own it and be a heel.
Oh, dude.
Be freaking Hulk Hogan when he joined the NWO.
But that'd be great for baseball, though. But that'd be great for baseball, because every sport, every league needs a team to root against. For the longest time, it was the Yankees, which is understandable because of the payroll and the, you know, evil empire and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And now you have a definitive, without a question, evil, no one likes team in the Astros, and people are going to go see them play. You know, if you're in Tampa Bay, what's the point of a Tampa Bay Astros game? I mean, yeah, they're two good teams, but whatever. But now you might actually make the extra effort to get into Tampa Bay, go to the game to see the Astros, just so you can boo, just so you can bang a trash can, just so you can do that. So that doesn't mean more eyes on the game, more ticket sales, more fans in the seats, which is a big thing that baseball needs. So for as much dirt that this has put on baseball, there's some stuff on the back end of it that can actually help baseball.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, there's a lot. You said it best, dude. Reality TV show in the making. Trash TV. Astros own up to it. Be Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Be Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Just totally lean into it. I mean, I don't care that they cheated. Like, it doesn't affect me. Like, they didn't. Like, I understand some of the players, like, oh, you stole money from dudes. Like, and I understand that sucks, but they didn't steal from me.
I'm 100% agree with you. Like, even when Angel fans are like, oh, well, they cheated against us too. You know what? We sucked. I don't care. They didn't affect what they beat us four more times. It didn't matter. We were, those four games were going to push us into the playoffs.
Right. And some dude suing the Astros because he didn't get another shot. My head is like, if you get lit up by the Astros in one day, I understand that it probably means you didn't go, you went back down and it kind of looked funny. But dude, if you're in a sport like this, baseball, basketball, football, you have to be mentally strong. And if you're not in that 1% or the 1% that's mentally strong enough to do this, whether the Astros lit you up this time or whether it was going to be the Indians the next time or whoever, it's kind of one of those things I feel it was eventually going to happen. Yeah, the Astros probably pushed fast forward on that, which sucks. But, you know, Camber Jojen got lit up, but he's still in the league because he bounced back. Felix Pena got lit up by the Astros during this time. He's still in the league. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I don't understand some of these.
It's just convenient for him to do that, you know?
Yeah.
So what other questions we got here? We got any more before we wrap?
No, we're almost getting towards the end here. So just a quick reminder again, we are going to be in Tempe in 2 weeks from today. We are recording this Thursday, February 20th. We will be in Tempe at this time in 2 weeks, where we will have our Angel preview, I guess, if you will, with Red Bollinger. We're trying to work out. I don't know if that's going to happen like a Saturday night, Friday night, but either way, it'll probably be posted that Sunday we're out there. If you're going to be out in spring training, let us know. Look us up. We will be posting stuff all the time out there. I don't know if any other podcast is going to be out there in spring training. I haven't heard. I don't know, but trying to get fans, trying to get people on the podcast, talking about spring training, talking about Angels baseball. So again, follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, because that's where we'll post where we're going to be at. And, you know, drop in, have a few words, and you know, we'll put you on the podcast, or we'll, you know, do some giveaways and all that stuff.
Yeah, it looks like we'll probably have our tailgate at Tempe
Saturday,
which is the 7th.
The 7th. Yeah, we're going to be in Tempe because the other 2 days were kind of sandwiched in there on the road. So March 7th, looks pretty good, legit, about the tailgate, and we always try to be in the outfield, just right by where the big Angels spring training home sign is,
right
beside the scoreboard.
Right.
But yeah, Tempe is right around the corner. Coming up, obviously, we're going to keep on doing the AL West preview. Monday is DC Lumberg. He's on the Locked On Mariners podcast. I talked to him yesterday. So that's coming out Monday. We'll be back next week, Thursday, to give our thoughts about Seattle and whatever kind of shenanigans will come out between now and then. And by then, we'll actually have games to talk about, even though the spring training games. And they're actually there was a thing today that said Saturday that don't expect any regulars playing.
I was like, doesn't matter.
I don't care. Just give me baseball.
It doesn't matter.
We were even texting, planning, hey, let's have a watch party. I'm so just like jonesing for
anything, baseball, man. Yeah. Just to hear, you know, the commentators and see the jerseys out there. Yeah, man, I'm super excited for that. But one other thing too, God, what was I going to get to? We're talking about spring training. We're talking about the giveaways again. We will have the Stan Sox giveaway on Instagram. Check it out. Not only that, but I think I talked to Angels Art, and we're going to be doing some cool art pieces using his images. So if you guys don't follow Angels Art on Instagram, it's AGLS_art. Does some really cool little pieces with pictures. So we're going to have some pieces. Those are going to be giveaways too. So we're going to figure out how we're going to do that too, whether we do it at spring training or through Instagram or whatever. So be on the lookout.
We had a question on here, and it's kind of a good question, and it's something we have to work out, and we'll probably talk about more so at spring training. But what's the podcast schedule going to look like throughout the season? We normally do once a week. You know, the day of the week is going to be kind of up for debate right now, just because we're trying to get Chris in here more often.
Right.
But once a week, and then occasionally, you know, if it's a big something happens, or if I get an interview, it'll be twice a week. But it'll definitely be once a week for sure. We're going to kind of do the same thing. We're going to do the review about what happened and talk about what happened that week, and then just kind of the news, people coming in, coming off the IL, on the IL, and you know, call down, you know, all that stuff. So as of right now, as it sits, it's gonna be once a week. Again, as of right now, it's gonna be probably like Wednesday, Thursday, depending on our schedule, but you know, that can change, and that's something where we're finally going to be all in the same place at the same time for spring training.
Right.
You know, Chris talks with John, you know, here and there, and I'm not there, and the same thing, I'm here with John and Chris is not here, and then, you know, this is hard to count on me.
It's Chris. Let's just blame Chris.
Yeah, I don't want to throw him under the bus like that, but hey, I why not? I don't know. But yeah, so that's the plan. And before we go, I meant to do it at the beginning. I never did, but I want to talk about MyBookie again, mybookie.ag. Very proud sponsor of the All Angels podcast. Go to mybookie.ag now. Use promo code CHAIR and they'll double your initial deposit up to $1,000 just in time for March Madness, NBA playoffs, and even, like we said before, baseball. That's it we have. Again, next week we have DC Lumberg, Mariners, talking Mariners on Monday. Our thoughts on the Mariners and news in general will be Thursday. And then Saturday, the last day of February, the 29th, we will have Victor Rojas on as our interview. And then that will wrap up our very, very busy February. Busy but fun, and definitely a lot of information put out there reviewing everything. But it was definitely a lot of fun talking to guys.
Yeah, no doubt. So with that being said, follow us on all our social media platforms, Halo_Haven on Instagram, Halo_Haven on Twitter, Facebook, Halo Haven, allangelspodcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions, comments, you can't get on social media, you can't be on the Instagram live, always hit us up on our Gmail account, allangelspodcast@gmail.com. All right, I'm Johnny Banks.
I'm Dan Garcia.
And you've listened to another edition of the All Angels Podcast.
Driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed.
Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.